Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sandstorm Podcast. Let's get right to it and dive into a story that, frankly, might surprise a few of you out there. San Francisco, the city where the hills are steep, the tech is sleek, and the politics are, well, they've always leaned a tad to the left of the left. But here's where it gets interesting. Imagine, if you will, a twist in this foggy tale. The very community that was once a steadfast ally to progressive policies is now, shall we say, recalibrating their political compasses. Picture this. Phil Wong, a 46-year-old San Franciscan, son of a Chinese immigrant, eyes twinkling with the reflection of the Golden Gate, used to be the guy you could count on to vote for the incumbent. That was the rhythm, the steady heartbeat of the city. But that beat, it's changing. Phil, like many in his community, cast his lot with the winds of change, rallying to recall left-wing school board members and a district attorney that many felt were, to put it mildly, off course. Now, let's take a step back and gaze at this bigger picture. San Francisco, this jewel by the bay, where you can't swing a sourdough loaf without hitting a startup, has been insulated by an economic bubble courtesy of its tech industry neighbor, Silicon Valley. Money flowed like wine, masking issues that were simmering beneath the city's glossy surface. But then the pandemic happened, and the tech world realized it could unchain itself from the pricey confines of city living. Workers could code from cabins in Colorado or surf in Hawaii between Zoom calls. And just like that, the facade began to crack, revealing the underlying issues that the city's dollars had draped a curtain over. Let's take Phil's story further. He speaks with a kind of wistful nostalgia, a love for the San Francisco of yesteryear and a hope for what it could be once again. It's almost like he's looking out over the city from Coit Tower, reminiscing about the past but with a firm gaze on the horizon. A horizon that, mind you, might be shifting politically towards the center. I mean, you've got to wonder, what sparked this shift? Was it the lingering fog of frustration with crime and education policies? Or perhaps it was a collective realization that what worked before isn't working now. Let's not forget, the Chinese American community isn't just a slice of the demographic pie in San Francisco. It's a big, hearty piece, making up 1/5 of the city's population. Their voice carries weight, and when they feel the city's policies aren't serving their interests, like, say, a move away from merit-based admissions or a rise in anti-Asian violence, it's like a tremor through the political landscape. Now, it wasn't just a flick of the switch. This push towards the middle, it's been brewing like a pot of oolong tea left on the stove. It's the outcome of a series of events, a cascade, if you will, and this isn't about one community either. It's about the heart of San Francisco beating for a city that works for everyone, a city that's safe, a city that's just. That's the kind of talk that's not just blowing through the city streets like the Pacific wind, it's getting political feet moving. But let's keep our eyes on the prize here. The real show? It's the upcoming mayoral race. The candidates are already courting the Chinese-American vote like it's the last dance at prom. And can you blame them? This is a community that could swing the election. It's like watching chess grandmasters eyeing the board. Every move, every campaign stop in Chinatown, every rally. It's all part of a larger strategy to capture the hearts and ballots of a community that's ready to tip the scales. And this isn't your run-of-the-mill political pivot. We're talking about a seismic shift that's rattling the traditional lines in the sand. This is the kind of story that gets me fired up because it's real people making real decisions that could reshape the city's political future. All right, friends, we've set the stage. The players are in place. The city's heartbeat is quickening, and the political fog, it's starting to just lift. But what does change look like? Let's zoom in on the Chinese-American community, which seems to be steering this ship toward uncharted waters. So imagine the streets of Chinatown, the oldest in the U.S., with the scent of roasted duck and incense wafting through the air. Here, political roots run deep, with ties to left-wing movements that have long influenced the city's heartbeat. But the pulse in these streets is different now. It's faster, more urgent, as if the community sensed a tipping point and collectively decided to push the city's pendulum towards the center. The catalysts? They're as palpable as the fog rolling over Twin Peaks. For one, the community's economic ascent nudged them towards the city's more suburban west side. With this shift came a subtle yet significant change in voting patterns. It was no longer just about ethnic representation. It was about policies that touched the very core of their lives, their children's education, the safety of their streets, the merit-based recognition they've long valued. And then there's the rage against the political machine that seemed, at least to them, to sputter and fail. Take the pandemic school closures, for instance. Those gates didn't just lock out students, they locked in frustration. And when the city decided to nix merit-based admissions at an elite high school, well, let's just say they didn't just poke the bear. They prodded a dragon. Add to this simmering cauldron the spike in anti-Asian hate crimes. It's one thing to read statistics, but another to witness fear in the eyes of your elders, who once navigated these streets with ease but now speak of fear at nightfall. An 84-year-old Thai man's tragic assault became not just a headline, but a rallying cry, a jolt to the community's soul that said, enough is enough. And now, the young ones, the ones who grew up with the internet as their playground, they're stepping into the fray, they're organizing, patrolling, recalling. They're making sure their voices aren't just echoes in the valley, but thunder on the hill. These activists, they aren't just tweeting their dismay, they're canvassing, they're voting, they're shaping the future. Take Nancy Tung, for example. She's a county prosecutor who rode the wave of change right onto the Democratic Party's local governing board. And guess what? She wasn't alone. The SF Democrats for Change slate she joined? It brimmed with Chinese-American candidates ready to trade ideological battles for practical solutions. They're done with chest thumping. They want a city that hums with efficiency, not one that stumbles in ideological quicksand. So here we are, watching the city's political terrain shift beneath our feet. We've got candidates like Mark Farrell, the moderate, the pragmatist, enlisting leaders of the recall movement as his campaign's maestros. And let's not overlook Mayor London Breed, who's dangling the promise of giant pandas and safer streets to woo voters back into her fold. It's a fascinating mosaic of aspirations, isn't it? You've got the affluent homeowners on the west side, the seniors and renters of Chinatown, each with their own vision for the city's path forward. The politicians? They're navigating this landscape like prospectors searching for gold. They know the value of the Chinese-American vote is like the rarest of treasures in this city of hills and dreams. But here's the thing. It's not a done deal. Not yet. As much as the Chinese-American community has mobilized, there's still a fog of uncertainty hanging over the ballot boxes. Can the desire for a safe, working city cut through the political haze? It's a million-dollar question that has everyone from the mayoral candidates to the street vendors on edge. And this brings us to the heart of the matter, to the question that's thrumming through the city's cables and streetcars. Can San Francisco really change course? Will the community's rallying cries crystallize into a new political reality? Or will they dissipate like mist over the bay? Tie up the threads of our story, a narrative that's as intricate as the woven silks in Chinatown's storied shops. We've traversed the political landscape of San Francisco through the eyes and hearts of its Chinese-American community, witnessing what feels like the stirrings of a quiet yet potent revolution. Let's slow it down, take a breath, and think about what all this means. We've seen a community traditionally allied with the left pivot towards the center, nudged by a combination of increased anti-Asian violence, frustration with school policies, and the universal desire for a city that simply works better. But this isn't just about one group or one election. It's about the broader currents of change and the power of a community to shift the tide. Now, I've got to tell you, this story hits close to home. I remember walking the streets of San Francisco, feeling the pulse of the city, seeing bustling stalls with baked goods and trinkets in Chinatown. That pride, that drive for excellence, it's a testament to the meritocratic values many hold dear. But let's peel back another layer. It's not just about the policies, is it? It's about the very fabric of the community. When you mess with education, with safety, with respect for the rule of law, you're tugging at threads that hold people's lives together. And if there's one thing history has taught us, it's that a community pushed too far will push back. It's the American way, the human way. Take a moment and think about the philosophical undercurrents here. We're witnessing a realignment that's reminiscent of those critical junctures in history where the people stood up and said, no more. It echoes the sentiments of philosophers like John Locke, who championed the radical notion that government must serve the people, not the other way around. As we reflect on these shifts, I'm reminded of something my old history teacher used to say, to know where you're going, you've got to know where you've been. That's why this isn't just a local news story. It's a chapter in the ongoing narrative of democracy, a system forever in flux, shaped by the will and the voice of the people. Let's not overlook the young activists, the new blood entering the political arena, inspired by the legacy of those who marched on these streets long before them. They stand on the shoulders of giants, armed with smartphones instead of placards, rallying cries echoing in tweets and live streams. They're not just voting, they're running for office, changing the game from within. And here we are, spectators and participants in this unfolding drama, watching as November looms on the horizon like the sun setting on the Pacific. Whatever the outcome, one thing is certain. The city by the bay is changing. Will it be the change so many are hoping for? That remains to be seen. But in the midst of this political sea change, there's an opportunity for dialogue, for understanding, and perhaps for finding common ground. It's a chance to reaffirm the belief that our cities, our communities, can reflect the best of us, even in times of discord and change. As we wrap up today's show, let's take with us not just the facts and figures, but the stories and the spirits of those who are striving for a better San Francisco. Whether it's through the clack of Mahjong tiles in the community centers, the determined steps of safety patrols, or the solemn act of casting a ballot, each is a testament to the city's enduring heart.